God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text coming from our epistle reading, from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 13, especially the 10th verse, Paul reminds us, love does no harm to its neighbor, and therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. As we prepare ourselves for the celebration of the birth of our Savior, Jesus the Christ, we remember that, yes, he is coming again. See, Advent is a time of preparation. So as we are doing the preparation for the celebration of the fulfillment of God's promise that a Savior would come, at the same time we're also preparing for our Savior to come and return as he promised the second time. So as we take a look at what type of preparations do we need to make? Our world understands this time as the Christmas time. And really, it's not really Christmas yet. Christmas actually begins the day that we celebrate the birth of our Savior, Jesus the Christ. And then Christmas goes on for another 12 days, hence the song, The 12 Days of Christmas. During this time of Advent is a time of preparation. But as I take a look at my neighbors in my neighborhood, as I take a look in the stores, you see all the Christmas and holiday decorations already up. But they really shouldn't be up yet. It's not Christmas yet. You see, while the world is more concerned about the external appearances, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, looks at things a little differently. You see, as we prepare, we have to understand what God is looking for. He's not looking to see how many lights are in your trees, or how much Christmas decorations or holiday decorations you happen to have up at the time. But God looks inside our hearts. From 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, the Lord is talking to his prophet Samuel, who is going to anoint the next king of Israel. And it says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." So our preparation for the celebration of the birth of our Savior really begins in our heart. That's how we prepare. And how do we prepare our hearts? Well, first of all, we go back to the Savior himself. Go back to why we needed a Savior. Why God had to take on flesh and blood and be born in Bethlehem. This is what Scripture foretold. But the reason behind it was because we needed a Savior. We needed someone who was going to fulfill God's law, who was going to appease his wrath, who was going to bear the punishment of our own sins, someone who would be perfect. But no human being would be perfect unless God takes on flesh and blood and makes his dwelling among us, as the Gospel of John reminds us. Yes, it is God who comes to us. And we need to realize, and as Christians we do realize, that Jesus is the Christ. He is God taking on flesh and blood. And we need to realize, yes, we need that Savior, one who delivers us from sin. Second of all, we need to realize that his ultimate sacrifice on the death, and with his death on the cross, fulfilled God's wrath for our sin. That's why we trust in him. If I can just pick up on 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, John writes, "This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Notice that propitiation for our sins is the atonement, the price Jesus paid by the shedding of his blood and his death, so that we would not experience the punishment of our own sin. Because we are reminded in Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 6, verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death." The verse continues and goes, "But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So if I can go back to 1 John chapter 4, beginning with verse 15, "Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God." So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Now we can kind of see where your pastor's sort of heading with this. Romans chapter 13, verse 10, "Love does no harm to its neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law." This connects very closely with what John is saying in his first letter, chapter 4. You see, God first loves us so that we in turn can love other people. God first comes to us to redeem us, to deliver us, and then we share that love with those around us. It sounds pretty simple, but what we're really talking about is the condition of the heart. God first cleanses our heart, first renews our heart, so that our heart in turn responds to the love that God has so lavishly poured out upon us. Again, in 1 John chapter 4, this time verse 8, he says, "Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." Hence, Paul uses this text of ours to remind the Christians that we need to love and we shouldn't be harming our neighbor. And love is the fulfillment of the law. Now, let's not get caught up in that concept of the fulfillment of the law. The law has three kind of functions, or three types of roles. And for the Christian, we remember that, yes, the law is a guide. It does show us our sins. But because Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, the law no longer condemns us, but shows us God's will. So as a Christian, as we abide in God's love, in His saving love, in His renewing love, in His atoning love, we naturally share this love with those around us. But how easy is it to share that love? It's very challenging. The other aspect is sometimes people get a little concerned about their good works, that they think that their good works sometimes justifies themselves, and in doing so takes away from the atonement that Jesus made. Paul brings up this in Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, when he writes for us, "We know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ, not by works of the law, because by works of the law no one will be justified." So as Christians, we remember that we use the law as a guideline for our lives. We try to live by what the law says, because the law is part of God's Word. And God's Word is reminding us that we need to share that love with those around us. Just because we share that love doesn't take anything away from Jesus' death on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. That's where we are justified. That's where we are renewed. That's where our hope is. But now, as a response of His gracious love to us, we share that love with those around us. So during this time of Advent, we prepare ourselves. Not necessarily with external decorations and how many lights we can put up on the tree, or how many pictures of snowmen or snowflakes, or even a crash. We prepare ourselves by disciplining ourselves, by sharing God's love. You see, we need to hear that love does no harm to our neighbor. Because as we take a look at our own personal actions, and if we look hard, we'll find out how we do hurt our neighbor by what we say, by what we do, and even by our own thoughts. Jesus reminds us that, you know, if we hate our neighbor in our heart, in one essence, we're really killing him. We are breaking that law. So God is asking us not to harm our neighbor, but to show love. And I will admit, during this quote-unquote Advent season, as the malls are a little bit more crowded, there's more people on the streets. I don't know about you, but I sometimes get a little bit more frustrated with the traffic around me. And I need to remind myself, even when I'm driving, even when I'm interacting, I won't do any harm. How can I love my neighbor? Even by my driving, can I love my neighbor? The answer is yes. Even while I'm waiting in line, can I love my neighbor? Again, the answer is yes. Even when the Lord is trying to teach me patience and I'm a slow learner, again, the answer is yes. We need to love because God Himself is love. Love is one of the fruits of the Spirit. So basically, we go back to the concept, God loves us, restores us, so that we can share that love with those around us. Again, this is difficult. So we go back to the God who loves us, and we say, Lord, give me some more strength. Shower some more love. Remind me of that forgiveness. And so we have these extra services during the time of Advent just to do that preparation. Because my sinful nature comes forward and says, I don't like waiting in lines. I don't like the extra crowds. I'd rather just do my own thing. But God reminds me and stops me and says, I don't live just in my own world. I live in the world that God created. And God wants me to share that love and that same forgiveness that He has given to me with those around us. He asks us not to be selective with our love and only loving and being nice to my friends. But during this time of Advent, the challenge is out there to prepare ourselves, because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son to the world, to all people. So we ask God to use us as His tools and instruments of sharing that love, so that more people will understand through the gospel message that yes, Jesus Christ died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. That little baby born in Bethlehem is actually our Savior. Not something to have a giant celebration and to fill up the department stores with, but something that changes our lives. Something that brings us to be with Him in eternal life. Yes, God is constantly sharing that love and forgiveness. And so, during this time of Advent preparation, we get reattached to God's Word. We come and receive the sacrament of Christ's body and blood, again for the strengthening of our faith, to renew us, to remind us how much God does love us, so that we in turn can love other people. God does give His strength. He does give His love. He does give His forgiveness. These are things that are not found in the beautifully decorated stores. It's not found online, but it is found here, where God's Word is proclaimed, where His Word is read, where His sacrament is administered. So we come and reconnect ourselves to Him and His Word, seeking His strength and His love and His forgiveness. So we come to the Lord's table because we do need a little extra more love, more reminding of what our Lord and Savior has done. Our world is sort of in a tizzy right now, preparing for what it thinks is Christmas. You're here tonight, hearing God's Word, preparing your hearts for the celebration of the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.